Hello and welcome to TNIAB Podcast. It is July 5th, 2017, and this is episode 336. My name is Anthony, and I'll be your host tonight because Vince is on vacation. So today, I had some ideas for the show, and obviously, because I'm here by myself, plans fell through. So we're going to have a bit of a shorter version of our regular show, but minus the news. So what I really want to talk about is Baby Driver. So I went to go see Baby Driver yesterday, in fact. And just straight out the gate, I just want to tell you that like Baby Driver is the best movie I've seen all year. If not even maybe last year. For people who don't know, this is made by the Shaun of the Dead director. He also did Hot Fuzz and all that stuff. And usually his movies are, with the exception of Scott Pilgrim, they're like deconstructions of whatever movie he's making. So in Hot Fuzz's case, it's a cop movie deconstruction. It's like this buddy cop movie. They go through all the tropes, all the regular ups and downs of a buddy cop movie. But they present it to you in such a way where it's obvious to the film. It's obviously that the film knows exactly what they're doing, and it lets you kind of in on this, like, it's like this little meta narrative on, oh man, all these movies are the same, but here are some ways I'm gonna change it up, or I'm gonna make it better. And that's what I thought this movie was gonna be going into it. I thought it was gonna be sort of a deconstruction of a heist movie, but really it's Edgar Wright's pretty much like his own original thing. It's about a guy named Baby. He is a driver. When he was a kid, he boosted the wrong car, chucked the wrong stuff out of that car, and now he is in debt to a notorious crime boss. And what he has to do is run errands for this dude. He drives for all the heists, and in classic villain, like kind of good guy villain fashion, it's like, man, I need one more heist and I'm gone, I'm out. And so it follows him trying to balance out a love life that he has just started, also getting out of this dark underworld, and all the while driving. And on its face, that sounds very plain, but the thing that sets this movie apart is actually tied into the character Baby himself, where the character Baby has a tinnitus. So he has a kind of a slight humming in his ear from an accident that happened when he was a child, and to drown out that hum, he plays music. But that music is, the listener can hear it, and it's almost like you've kind of taken a step into what Baby's ears are hearing, because this movie uses music and the hum of tinnitus in such a cool way to make certain story points more impactful, to get the mood of the main character really across to you. And I think I mentioned this in the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 review, where the one of the main reasons I liked that movie was their respect to music, how they used music as a storytelling device. And pretty much that the music wasn't just something that we as an audience were hearing in this kind of weird, like, ethereal, that's not the right word, but it's like in this weird movie sense where there is a soundtrack going on in the movie, but normally you don't hear James Bond doesn't acknowledge the James Bond theme, right? Tom Cruise doesn't acknowledge the Mission Impossible theme when he's doing all of his stuff. The music in this movie is respected in such a way that's exactly like Guardians of the Galaxy 2, but taken to another extreme. After watching Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I really wanted a movie that could use music in such a way that it pushed a main narrative like that. And this is what Baby Driver is. It's Edgar Wright just delivers a fantastic heist movie from beginning to end. And I think saying any more about the story and like spoilers would kind of be a disservice. I really would recommend that people go see this movie. The thing that really stands out, though, are just like the wide array of talent in this movie. Kevin Spacey's in this movie. He plays an amazing villain, and so does John Hamm. You may know him from Mad Men. Then also Jamie Foxx is in this movie, and he plays a very convincing, like sociopath, psychopath type of person. And everyone comes together with all these different kind of wacky, like, character developments and like character styles, but it all comes together to make this really great movie. The other thing that stands out in this movie is the fact that I believe most, if not all, of the driving sequences are practical. So there is either little to no CGI. When they're drifting around corners, there's a scene in the trailer where they're in a red Subaru and they do this move. It's a 180 in and a 180 out. So they do a 180 to dodge a truck and then they 180 out to go forward again. And that's all practical. Someone was in that car doing that. And I know for a lot of the stunts that the main actor, his name escapes me right now, but it's very French. And he was in Fault in Our Stars and he was in the Divergent series. He actually learned how to drive stick shift, and John Hamm also did some driving training as well. So it really shows that all the work that the actors put into this movie shows when you're watching it, the amount of practice that probably took to do all these different stunts and all these well choreographed driving scenes. And that's not to say the other scenes are lacking. There's great foot chases, there's great fights, there's really tense kind of verbal Mexican standoff situations. Overall, this movie is fantastic. I don't think I'd have a complaint about it at all. The person I would really like to hear their opinion about is Vince, because Vince is someone who is pretty much, he's, like, music exists for him, like, it's a thing that's there, but he's never been a person to, at least to me, to go out of his way to be like, oh, I'm gonna, like, listen to a song while I'm doing something, or music really amplifies a situation. So I would really want to hear the opinion of someone who maybe is kind of ambivalent towards music, because this movie is very focused on music. It's shown in pretty much every scene. There are fight scenes that are choreographed to the song that is playing, and gunshots are popped off to the beat of the song. So again, it would be very interesting to hear his opinion. Hopefully when next week, he'll be able to shed some light on that movie. So overall, Baby Driver, it's just fantastic. It's got to be a 5 out of 5 for me, and it's a really easy contender for best movie of the year. I'd recommend you go watch it. So in my week, I've been doing some other stuff. Let's say I've finished Horizon Zero Dawn. Horizon Zero Dawn is still fantastic. I feel like this week has been a great week for me just consuming different sorts of media. I said a bunch of stuff about it last week where I think it's kind of like Witcher Lite and all this stuff. And even after I beat the game, I still wanted to go back and just do all of the side stuff. I wanted every excuse to be in that world for as long as I could. They have really crafted a great open world that is just fantastic to play around in. All the different variety and weapons you get and how they can be used differently against different types of enemies. And also just aesthetically, man, the stuff you see around you, like these unreal enemies, these unreal surroundings, it's crazy, because sometimes you catch yourself, it's like I am walking around in just the densest of forests, and for as far as I can see there are no villages. Maybe there's like some smoke signals going on in the background because there's a hut there, and you're shooting robot dinosaurs with these really decked out bow and arrows and slingshots. It's cool. It's just the mix of really hyper futuristic technology and really primitive technology is just so cool to look at and use. It's such a unique, space to be in, I guess, for lack of a better phrase or word. It's, man, it's just really good. If you haven't played Horizon Zero Dawn yet, and maybe you're looking for a new open world game to play, I definitely recommend it. I also have to applaud again the writers on making Aloy as a character. Aloy is your strong, independent female character, and we've had a lot of that lately. We're getting that in the new Uncharted. We got that in Uncharted 4 with Nadine. We got that with Lara Croft. But there are some games where you kind of feel like you kind of know that this strong independent woman character was written by someone who maybe doesn't understand that firsthand or what makes those kind of characters special and unique. And they really, unless you're going true satire with it, like Bayonetta is a perfect example of just taking a character over the top in sexualization that she kind of, it loops around and like makes it her own, right? Where Aloy is just no nonsense. I am here for knowledge. I am here for archaeology. She is like a primitive / future tech Lara Croft. And it comes across in the writing because in the main story, she is always, it feels like she's kind of one note in the main story of, I have this revenge to get. I want to uncover more knowledge about the world around me, and I need to figure out what this massive world-ending event that caused these robot dinosaurs and stuff like that to happen. But in the side stories, when you eventually meet other characters, when you meet other male characters whose main identity is more family-oriented, or other female characters who have taken on a similar role as Aloy but in a different field, let's say. So there is this one great character who's a female blacksmith, and because of her village and town, she doesn't want to be just pretty much like arranged marriaged off, and she'd be some blacksmith's wife, right? She wanted to make her own thing. And the way those two characters connect, Aloy and the blacksmith connect, because they have such similar hobbies, is really cool. But it's also cool to see the differences between Aloy and other characters, to see people who are more domestic and family oriented, who have maybe given up on their dreams and to in pursuit of a family, or in their case, in pursuit of a greater dream. Because Aloy comes at them with questions like, do you think it was worth it for you to stop your work to raise a family and all this stuff? And to them, it's totally worth it. But to Aloy, she can't really fathom that. In her head, she's just like, if I don't have adventure, if I don't have my work, I'm not who I am. And it's great to see such variety in characters, not only in the main cast, but in the side casts as well. It really makes you want to continue through with all these side quests. So I ended up getting the Platinum Trophy in that game. I've collected everything, and now I'm kind of just waiting for the, I believe it's the Frozen Heart or something of the North. It's something to do with the cold. And I don't know if it's going to be story related or if it's going to be like hunting missions and stuff like that. But this game is fantastic. It's really great. The other thing, new thing I did was I read a new comic book. So this one is, I believe it's an American comic. It's called Killing and Dying. It is by Adrian Tomine. And it is a collection of short stories in comic book form. It's really about kind of the realness of life. We've talked about this in, especially, let's say, my high school romantic comedy, Snafu. Like, that show is quote-unquote real in a way that you don't get in a lot of media. So what I mean by that is when something is sad, like, it's not this tragedy. Like, it's not Clannad. It's not, what's that movie with Will Smith where he has to donate parts of his body? Like, I think it's called 7 Pounds. It's not like 7 Pounds. It's not this like crazy unrealistic version of tragedy where you're just meant to feel for these characters. It is they're all more real life versions of either like the melancholy of living life in general, or kind of the frustration you feel over certain other people in your life. So a great example is there is a one story called, what was it called? It's about a family. It's about a mother and a daughter and a father. And what they're discussing is that the daughter wants to try and get into stand-up comedy. So she has kind of this dream to become a stand-up artist, but it seems more like the teenager is doing it in more of a, hey, this seems interesting. I don't want to just, oh, that specific comic is actually just called Killing and Dying. So each short story is different. So while she's trying to decide her fate, you see the discussions between the parents, how they both are taking an opposite side, where the mother thinks that the daughter should pursue her passions no matter how frivolous, and we should at least give her a chance because you don't know if she's going to be a great comic or not. And the father, on the other hand, is taking a more, let's say, pessimistic approach, where his daughter has never shown any sort of humor or general wittiness in her life coming up to this point. But there's a lot of stories in the background that don't take front and center. Like, I guess slight spoilers, you see the mother in this story, just her appearance changes, and it almost looks like, at first it's like she's going for a style change, but then it starts getting, like, she looks more sickly and stuff, and eventually she's just gone from the picture. It turns into a story about a single father raising his teenage daughter. And there are a lot of great moments like that. There's a little, because it's trying to capture the little moments, the small details in life that make up your life, you see these big events happen to these characters in the background, but they don't focus on it. They don't focus that the mother is gone. They just focus on the fact that how it's changed them as a family, and how it's changed them as people. There's another story called Go Owls, where a girl is going to an AA meeting and she meets a guy, and she thinks it's all fantastic because he's really nice and stuff, but then he ends up starting to be abusive. And that story kind of starts the way it ended, not with like a bang, but kind of with like a whimper, like with a real life, like things just happen and they drift apart, or you don't know how you got yourself into this situation because you've been going through this routine over and over again, and stuff just kind of turned out this way. It's a really fantastic read. The only thing I would say is that it's a little depressing. If you're not into this sort of stuff, if you're just looking for like a colorful series of short stories and stuff, like, this is kind of not the place to go. That's not to say that Adrian Tomine's art is not fantastic. It is, but it's definitely something where you read a short story and you kind of sit on it and you're like, huh, I kind of want to digest that. I want to try to figure out what I was feeling, what the characters were feeling, and that kind of stuff. It's a very heavy read. So if you're not into that, I guess I wouldn't recommend it immediately, but it is a fantastic read. And the last thing, I'm trying to think if I talked about it already on the podcast, and I think I did. I did mention Brockhampton at the end of the last episode. I still think that album's fantastic. But I think that might be it for this episode. It was a pretty slow news week. There wasn't really any news that interested me, so that's why I went straight into my week after the review. But just to recap, Baby Driver is fantastic. I think the thing I forgot to mention in the review of Baby Driver is that the movie respects you as a viewer. There are so many little hints and callbacks to other things, and just visual representations of dialogue that's happened in the past movie, where they're nice little touches if you catch them. I think my favorite personally is that there is a character where she is talking about Dolly Parton, and Dolly Parton had a song, where in the lyrics she mentions, everybody wants like a happy ending. I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember the exact quote, but you can't have a rainbow without a little rain. And that, at that situation, that dialogue really hits home for the main character. But the thing is that it shows up again within the visual of the movie, where there is there's a really important scene, like a movie turning point, where it all takes place in the rain. But then after that scene, for like a couple frames, not very long, like you gotta catch it, is a rainbow in the end, and it does call back exactly to what the one character said. And there's a lot of little things like that that really respects you as a viewer to catch it, to pay attention. And it doesn't beat you over the head with like, hey, here's the symbolism, here's this stuff, like, look at it, art, right? It respects you to get out of the movie what you want to get out of it. So again, that movie is just straight up fantastic. I think that's probably it. I have been trying to build a computer. So I've been using this website called PC Part Picker, and it's a great little handy tool, because it not only tells you the cheapest way to buy the part you want, by recommending the site with the cheapest price, but also it helps with compatibility issues. So what I've learned from building a computer is not everything works with everything. If you want an Intel processor, you need a motherboard that supports an Intel processor. And then on top of that, you need a motherboard that supports the type of pin set or chipset that your processor has. So shout outs to my friend Curtis for recommending that site, because the parts I had before, it was like I had an AMD motherboard with an Intel processor and like an NVIDIA graphics card, and just nothing was going to work out right. And I think the funny thing here is that I wanted to be VR ready with this computer. When I first planned out my computer, I was like, I'll probably spend close to $1,000. I'll get like a decent gaming PC. It'll be pretty nice. But man, apparently VR is really intensive on your computer. I have had to rethink and rebudget my build over the last few weeks as I'm saving up for it, and it got expensive. Computers are expensive. I have decided to go with a full tower, big honkin' case. That is just because it seems like the parts I want and the parts I need are very big, and I would like a cooler case, both aesthetically and practically. Bigger. The case I'm getting is a Corsair. I think it's a 760T. And this thing looks huge, but I've read really good reviews on it where it's got really good airflow and really good customization options, so that's fantastic. I am excited to finally have an SSD. My current laptop, which I'm actually recording on right now, is about 5 to 6 years old at this point, and it is on its last legs. The hard drive is getting slower. The graphics card actually is fully done. I have to run games off of my internal motherboard GPU, which isn't the greatest. So it's kind of frustrating to have like a dedicated graphics card in your computer and not be able to use it. And I can't even replace it because that stuff is soldered to the motherboard on the laptop. So I'm kind of SOL in that situation. And I'm really excited. It's been an adventure to kind of even just theoretically build out of the computer. But I will definitely be talking about it on the podcast once I kind of get into actually building it. Maybe we'll do something for the site, the podcast, or something with that. But plans are up in the air so far. So next week we'll be back with a more regular show. I'm sure we have more Kamen Rider to check out. I believe Spider-Man opens this weekend. I can't be for sure, but I think I've been thinking that Spider-Man has come out every weekend for the past 2 weeks. Every week I'm just like, hey, are we seeing Spider-Man? Hey, are we seeing Spider-Man? And they're like, no, Anthony, it's July. So we should be seeing Spider-Man Homecoming, I believe, if it is, in fact, out next week. And so look forward to that. Yeah, Vince will be back. I'll be back. You'll probably hear chimes in from TJ. And I hope you guys have a great week. Again, happy Canada Day to all Canadian listeners. Happy 4th of July that just passed for all our American listeners. And if you had a holiday in your country that I didn't shout out, hey, happy holidays, man. Enjoy that day off. So I will see you next week with more of TNIAB Podcast. See you guys later.